IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Habib and Sayyid Mohsen. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Habib Zata, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So Islam and yoga, is it permissible? I mean, does Islam has any approval regarding yoga? Let's start with you, Brother Habib. How does Islam looks at yoga as a meditation?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. It's very important that when you're talking about Islam, what Islam are you precisely talking about? Because Islam, unfortunately, had been, branched into various sects and ideologies. And for example, I will give you a team, or you'd say a sect of Muslims who accept this idea, and that is the Sufi. The Sufi ideas accept yoga, and they have their own specific way of meditation, their own specific way of body exercises.
They do not call it yoga.
They have the same, yes. Even if they don't call it yoga, okay. Which they do, of course, they call it yoga. Book explaining, interpreting Usul al-Kafi.
Okay.
Kitab al-Ilm, Fadl al-Ilm, Talab al-Ilm, seeking knowledge. The first saying, As-Sayyidun Na'ini, Raf'a. Right? One of the great interpreters of hadith, yes. Allama al-Majlisi always takes from him. Of course, both of them high-ranked scholars. And he states the word that there's this concept of yoga, where they seek knowledge by doing these exercises.
Okay.
And this is against the teachings of Ahlul Bayt, because we have the teachings of Ahlul Bayt is to seek knowledge, to run after scholars, to look in books, to search for the knowledge, right?
You mean yoga as a method to seek knowledge?
Seek knowledge. There's this kind of yoga. I wrote it down, but I don't know how to pronounce it. Janana, something like that.
Okay.
Right? It's G-N-A-N-A.
Okay.
Right? And
Janana.
This is some kind of meditation where they reach this divine knowledge, and it's one of the four stages of, one of the five stages, the fourth stage, yes, actually, of reaching that goal, the main goal that they have in Buddhism or in Hinduism, where they,
the spiritual development. That's
spiritual perfection.
Okay.
So Sufism have the same kind of concept, especially when you look at the concept of the unity of existence.
Yes.
And they try to explain in this manner, both of them do actually, they state, we're not saying that we become one with God, rather we annihilate the self.
Yes.
We annihilate material from ourself and become united. That is the meaning of yoke.
Okay.
Yoga. That's where the word comes from. To unite, to combine.
Okay.
So they have this kind of concept. As in the Shia school of thought, a direct answer is no. If you do this practice, it's considered something out of the Islamic teachings. And
is it considered haram? Can you name it as haram?
Look, when you have to look at every exercise. Like, what is your intentions when doing yoga? Is it just to exercise your body?
Okay.
If it's just to exercise when you're doing these postures and whatever.
Okay.
Then, if it's just exercise, then there's nothing prohibiting that.
That's right.
Meditation, looking at this the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at what you're going to go become.
Okay.
For example, looking at the graves. Mm-hmm. That is something that's been recommended by Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. But rather, when your intention of this exercise is to seek inner knowledge, for example, or to seek this kind of perfection, this kind of goal, this enlightenment that they state, then that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma anzal Allahu biha min sultan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down on us. And of course, unfortunately, some Shia mystics may also have this kind of problem.
That's right.
So, inshallah, we'll talk more about it. I want to see Sayyid Mohsen's view on it. I hope he's against me.
Okay. I think he's not against you, because everybody here is against yoga, as you can see there. But, yoga talks about making yourself one with God. Even they pray the sun. So it's absolutely against the concept of Tawheed, Sayyid, isn't it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As brother has said, yes, it is against the concept of Tawheed. Why? Because when we look at the roots of yoga, we see them in Buddhism, in Hinduism, in Jainism.
Okay. Yes.
So all these three religions that we are looking at, they all are worshippers of idols.
Yes.
And some of them, like, they worship some worship snake, sun, moon, stars, cow. I don't know, anything from
especially
which...
Especially the sun, because they pray the sun.
Anything from which they had a fear,
yes,
they used to pray.
Yes.
You know, the place where they initiated, like, worshiping something was when they had a fear of something.
Okay.
And that was the time when we see in the history, even people used to worship their kings.
That's right.
Because they had a fear of the king so that he does not kill them. So basically, it has come out of the fear. And in order to control that fear, in order to control their five senses, they have come up with this exercise, which is very close to become a monk. We can say, like, in other
words. They call them mystics.
Mystics, or the monks,
Yes.
Because in Christianity, we do have this, like, the
concept of monk. There are specific sects among Christianity, the self-torturing or something like that, you know.
They do have it.
They do have it.
And on top of that, obviously, they separate themselves from the society as well. Because, you know, when you go into the Buddhism, especially in Hinduism, those who professionally practice yoga, they're away from the society.
The concept of i'tizal in Sufism.
So they get away and then they practice it. And when they reach to a level, then they come back to the society. And they try to teach it. So when we look at the basics of this and the teachings that are being preached through this yoga, it's all against the monotheism. It's against the Islam, teachings of Islam. As brother has said, if it is just the concern of having an exercise, you know, an exercise of stretching my
body parts. Cobra stretch, for example. That's something I do, even though I have a one pack.
That's stretching the body parts. That's fine. Islam does not forbid something which is an exercise. But on the other hand, when it is affiliated with the concepts of a religion, then Islam stops it. For example, wearing a tie does not have an issue in Islam.
If someone is it's going not a for ritual job, for another religion or concept.
But if it becomes a ritual, if it is connected to the Christianity and it is a kind of, you know, advertising or the symbol of that religion, and you're advertising such a religion through this, you know, specific cloth, then it becomes, you know,
like the cross, wearing a cross as a necklace or something.
So it becomes it becomes haram in the Islam. So this is the view of the Islam. So we need to look at the basic, you know, the concepts that if someone is performing it, why is he performing? Because it has become something that everyone is doing. For example, you know, the people one time, like, they start an exercise like jumping. And later you see, like, in the clubs that when the music on is on and everyone is jumping. So if it is something similar to that, if it is something, you know, affiliated to that, then obviously it is.
Of course, the extent of the exercise, I mean, warming up the body is really low in comparison to the other physical exercises that is doing in the West, for example. If you want to do exercise as a sport or a warm-up of the
cardio,
body.
Cardio, stretching.
Yeah, fitness. As a fitness, I mean, yoga is not. And usually it's very much concentrated on the meditation thing, on the thought and concentration rather than the physical fitness.
Look, me personally, I do not deny that there might be some, you know, spiritual benefits, if you want to call them, right? Like, for example, this person is able to read the minds of people. How did he reach it? Through these kinds of exercises. We have this story of where a man comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and he can read the minds of people. He comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and he cannot read it. And he tells him, to, how did Imam Sadiq asks him,
Murtaz,
monk. How did you become in this manner? He told him that everything I desire, I don't do. For example, I desire to eat this, I don't eat it. I desire to do this, I don't eat it. He told him, do you desire to come to Islam? He says, no. He tells him, don't do against your desires. So he takes Islam. When he gets into Islam, all these spiritual benefits are gone, where he now cannot read anyone's mind. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam tells him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to reward you in the afterlife. He does not want to reward you in this world. So there might be some kinds of, you know, let's say rewards, spiritual benefits from these exercises. There can be, for example, relaxation, the running away from anxiety, for example, courage coming from these, you know, meditations. But at the end of the day, there's this significant difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. And I'm precise with my word, a Muslim and a non-Muslim. The meaning of the word Muslim is Islam, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by following everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. It's not following my desires. I do not do this worship because, oh, I feel good worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this matter. It's not about how you feel. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do this way, you do that way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. That's submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Of course, yoga is not a religion.
It is actually a religion. It's a ritual. It's a practice.
It's a spiritual perfection method. It's not called, for example,
which is a religion.
No.
It's a path of life.
It's a path of life. But in comparison, for example, we do not say we have Christianity, Judaism, Islam, and yoga.
No, it's a practice of a religion.
It's a practice of religion, but it's not a religion.
It's not a religion, but okay. at the end of the day, this ritual, this practice is something out of Islam. It's not an Islamic practice. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, it could be part of Buddhism or Hinduism, you know.
The Sufis are using it for Islam's sake, right? Okay. But at the end of the day, it's not what Allah wants.
Some Muslim scholars criticize it because they say that the yoga, the postures are the animalistic ones because it is the exact imitation out of the animal postures. It's number one. Yeah. The second one is that it's not good for your health because you are prohibited of using flesh or meat or something like that. The third one is the nakedness that exists in the yoga, you know. And
in some of them, not all of them.
In some of them, unfortunately, this naked nudist behavior nowadays is rampant around the world through the yoga, you know. The Islamic culture is also influenced here and there, isn't it?
Of course. I said, like, first of all, the reward part, there might be some rewards, there might be some benefits. Acting like an animal, not everything.
Or posturing like an animal, encouraging nakedness.
At the end of the day, being naked, that's against your modesty, the modesty of every human being, right? And Adam, our father, when he came to this world, they came without clothes, and then they asked for some clothes, something to cover up.
That's right.
Right? And as for the, you know, not eating meat, this is also another concept that the Sufis have tried to emphasize a lot, and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought, even the Prophet himself, where he used to say that my most loved food is eat meat.
Yes.
I love meat. Mm-hmm. I am a convert. I eat meat. I eat meat with honey. It's also good. It's very good. Have you tasted meat with honey?
No.
You should try. It's very tasty.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Right. And so we have this, you know, this bashing and criticism of those who do not eat meat at the end of the day. So yeah, these are things that contradict with the Islamic teachings.
That's all right. Okay. Sayyid Mohsen, if we want to, you know, wantedly, some people around the world, even in the Muslim communities, are practicing yoga. What's the problem? Where does the problem come from? I mean, because the feeling that your prayer, your du'as, your supplications, I mean, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to given to you is not given, and then the yoga is going to replace it. Where does the problem come from? Is it with me not practicing Islam in a good way, in a perfect way, and then replacing yoga with namaz or prayer or something?
Well, I disagree with the opinion that you said, like with the supplication or the prayer that we have. We do not get that kind of spirituality, and then that's why people are going towards the yoga.
Okay.
This is not the reason, because it has become a trend in the Western world. Now, the problem is those who have the, you know, worldview, the material worldview, they don't believe in metaphysics, okay? And they don't believe in spirituality. On the other hand, they have anxiety, stress, different problems in the society. So they're after peace, some inner peace.
But Sayyid, yoga is yoga, a spiritual action, isn't it?
I know. That's the reason why yoga has spread in the West is because it was an exercise initially. It was introduced as an exercise which gives you a peace. You can find inner peace. And then later when people went after it and like the research has been done, obviously it has come like it's a specific traditional thing, which is a ritual in a specific, you know, religion.
Okay.
But initially, when you look at the history of it, how it spread in America, for example, in the West, it was introduced as an exercise. So they introduced it as an exercise. And later, obviously, people know about the reality. So the reason was inner peace. Now, a person who is a Muslim who prays, he definitely finds some peace when he prays, when he recites Quran, when he fasts in the month of Ramadan. You know, he has that peace, but he cannot maintain it for a longer time. We are lazy as well.
Okay, thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen.
Welcome.
Brother Habib, for your presence in the program. Viewpoints, that's all we have time for today's discussion. Okay, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Call of Islam page, also YouTube, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Afi Aman Allah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you without you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong and right. Love that often lies, 'cause I don't need anyone, anything in life.